happy fucking happy hour. We've just been talking about what dirty little fucking freaks we all are, and we will get into more of that.
Yeah.
John Fugelsang,
yay, John,
is live in studio in Los Angeles. It is blinding. I wet myself a little tiny bit, right?
Yes.
I haven't seen you in 5 months, baby girl. It's good to be back.
Hello. Oh, it's so good to have you back.
Hi, John Fugelsang. How are you?
It's been eventful. It's nice to be back with you.
Yeah. You are blinding in person. You really are.
So are you. I mean, my God.
You too.
The fact that you're 71 is amazing.
Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah.
I mean, people would never know.
You're
it's
so
good
sweet.
You could change the Wikipedia thing so they won't know the truth.
She doesn't look a day over 69.
I don't think she does either.
Was that a 69 joke?
It was a 69 joke.
All right. John Fugelsang, you're in Los Angeles. It is...
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Hello. Thank you. Do I need these headphones? You're 5 feet away from me.
I have my box. I might slip you something from my box.
I'm not picking up on masculinity to wear these.
I brought my Valtrex. I'm ready for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Long before Oprah, this was the big give.
Listen, we've been on tour together for a few years, and a lot of shit happens on tour.
But not enough.
Well,
your child was conceived on tour.
No, he was not.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Backstage at the Chicago Theater.
He was conceived the day after the first Minneapolis show in New York City.
Either way.
Okay, backstage at the Chicago Theater.
When the legend becomes truth, print the legend.
Yes.
I had to pee before I went on stage. I was like, what's happening in there? I was like, is John? Oh. Someone's like,
there was no copulation going on.
And John actually said to me, I have something in my eye.
I really did. My wife, if you could know how
my wife is helping me because I'm cockeyed. Get something. I was like, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'll use another. Man, I'm sorry.
Just don't slip in the wet spot.
Look, we had three groupies at once. I had to go for the large bathroom. I'm sorry. Only your dressing room had that.
I'm fine with that. Here's my point.
God bless that. Oh, that's actually it was the Chicago Theater you're talking about.
Yeah.
Today is my son's third birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
The giant child.
And I'm here.
You know why you have such
a
giant child? Because of the last happy hour, we discussed your giant dick, which is really... It's hard to camouflage, John. I know that you try to be humble, but just even in pants, I'm backstage just like, fuck me. I am gay, but look at that. I mean, seriously, fuck me.
Well.
It's awkward every time. It's awkward every time.
No, it's actually great because you put this on your album, right? The last time you accosted me about this subject matter, and you put it on your album, which then became the number one album.
I'm a gay woman. I just, backstage, Chris, I'd be like...
Did you take it out and whip it around?
In pants.
Balloons animals?
In pants.
It's got a knee in it. Yeah.
It is like one of the Ringling Brothers elephants that hasn't been freed. It's just like, oh, fuck. What is in there?
My cock was taking a meeting with Spielberg this week. So I just came out for that because he's much bigger than me.
Is this the next apocalypse movie? Is that what's going to crash into the earth?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's like Tommy Lee's. It must come in sections.
It's like Jurassic World.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, a woman asked me. This woman has said, what's that large growth on the end of your cock? And I said, that's me. You know, that's what you call a growth on the end of a penis.
You're human
man.
You're the human life support system for a giant penis.
God, I can't. But thank God my mother won't be listening.
I thought she subscribed. You told me.
No, we give all our parents free subscriptions.
Yeah, we gave her a freebie.
We did. Mm-hmm.
And we sent her a copy of the album.
I know you're shocked that I didn't give anyone anything for free, but hey.
I am shocked by that.
Yeah.
Next to chlamydia, Stephanie doesn't give things away.
No, I don't. Thank you. What?
I say because I care.
Thanks. Here's my point is, did I just do this already?
Yes, you're drunk.
Yeah, you missed the bus.
Well, you just left Al.
Yes, Reverend Al. I did do a little roadie on the way back. Mm. You know, getting ready for John.
I've been having a great time doing Reverend Al's show.
Oh my God, how has he pronounced your name exactly?
He pronounced it three different ways in one segment last week on the air.
God, it's
but
awesome.
He apologized most graciously.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. I love the Rev. Rev did a little joke to me. Rev did a little Goldwater Miller joke to me.
Did he workshop a little material?
Stephanie, you know in my heart, in your heart, you know I'm right. In your
heart.
God.
Oh my God.
You know I'm right.
He did a Goldwater joke.
Sugar pie.
Oh my God. He so wants to hit this.
He wants to tap that.
Yeah. Yes. I'm just saying.
You seem to think your gay status thwarts the male libido.
No.
No.
It doesn't.
No.
It's just a challenge. It's a greater challenge.
I have found that.
Mm-hmm. He could be your first reverend.
I started doing these hikes with, meet up people, and I have had a guy hitting on me. And I'm like, I'm gay. He's like,
it doesn't compute.
There's some sort of hearing. It doesn't penetrate.
And let's be honest. Let's be honest for a second. Just as there are occasionally gay men who'll go for a romp with their female friends. Right. It happens. There are also lesbians who every now and then go for a throw with a guy, and God bless them.
Bless them, everyone.
Did you know that I learned this, the average lesbian has had more male partners than the average heterosexual woman? Because it takes a while to realize,
not
for me.
That does not surprise me.
She's test driving.
This has been brought up on the previous happy hours. That, John, I don't know if you know, but I tend to, I prefer the feminine gals. And don't you look at me like that. Most women I've been with have been with men or married or whatever. And so I think that's the next front in what's happening is the no labels thing. If you look in polling.
Or you're just a woman stealer.
Or you're a slut.
Taking women
away. It could be.
Taking women away from their men.
I've known gay teenagers who... I've known gay teenagers who don't even use the word gay.
Speaking of, was divorced
anymore.
many years ago.
Oh, okay.
We're having a different discussion over here.
Yeah. I've known gay teenagers who don't like to use the word gay. They're just not into the label.
Yeah.
The sacrifices of the previous generation don't matter much to them.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I mean, they don't really understand that as recently as the 80s, you could be fired from your job for being gay. And still in 29 states, still officially can.
Okay with that because that's what we fought for.
Yeah.
We fought for complete and total equality, and that's approaching complete and total equality.
Shallow, apolitical gay kids.
I would fire you for so many other reasons besides the fact that you're a knob gobbler. I've got a whole list of shit.
Well, one, I called you a cunt.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, in front of John. Do you remember that?
On the air?
Yes.
On this thing.
It was when you and Hal were in studio with us together.
Oh, God. I can't believe you didn't call me or Hal that.
That's not a surprise.
And that was the day I called you a cunt.
Well, okay.
This is the day I can talk about your tits.
Exactly.
Your tits, your titties, your tatas, your bazooms.
It is impossible to get fired around here, John. You know why? Because I have so low self-esteem.
Oh, don't say that. It's more than your codependent.
I am the cunt with the lowest self-esteem in the entire world. And I don't...
Only men would give the most beautiful thing the most hideous word. Can I just say that?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's true.
See you next Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
No, but it's named after a river.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah, so that's a beautiful thing. A nice flowing river.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you say so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because I had
to justify that one.
My friend's kid is like getting into good cinema and good acting, you know, right. And I was telling him that he's 12 years old and I was telling him, you know, oh, have you seen Glengarry Glen Ross? Because it's amazing.
Yep.
Kevin Spacey steals the whole movie from Jack Lemmon and Pacino. And
right.
And it's Alec Baldwin's best performance. He only gets one scene. And when he left, my friend said, hey, listen, I'd rather you not recommend Glengarry Glen Ross to my kid because, you know, Pacino uses the C word in the film.
No.
And I thought well, I learned the C word from a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 10, I was the only kid who didn't know that. Every curse word I ever heard, I learned from a child.
Oh, pardon me. You okay?
From a child. Sorry, need more alcohol.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you absolutely do. I have one ready to go here. It's okay. Yes, John, talk to me. I've lured him into my trap.
Every obscene word I ever heard, I learned from a child. And you know, it's weird with smut, because kids today know more than we would ever know. When I was a kid, if I wanted to see porn, I had to ask an adult to get me a magazine. Yeah. Now I'm an adult. If I want to see porn, I have to ask a kid to tell me a good website.
Yeah, how do you look it up online? How do you make this YouTube
exactly?
Work?
Yeah, how do you make this
I worry that, like, I mean, think about how bad porn is nowadays. If an alien came down and viewed our porn, they would assume that American women conceive through the chin. You know, and we've got an entire generation of young men and women learning how to make love from a bunch of roided up misogynists.
If it was
in
true,
the valley.
Lindsey Graham would have a bunch of little John McCain children. What?
I can't wait for Lindsey Graham to run for president. I think it's so great that he doesn't like the gays. Mm. I mean, wow. Mm-mm-mm. It's going to be, imagine if he runs Mr. Whitewater himself.
The most fabulous.
Did you see he was going to call
him? He would be the first bachelor president since...
James Buchanan.
Buchanan.
Who, by the way, the media, when he was president, called him Aunt Fancy.
Yes.
Yeah, they knew even then. Yeah. They knew even then.
That's right.
And Lindsey Graham is the only guy who impeached Bill Clinton and got a promotion out of it. He's so hated by the Tea Party.
Yeah.
It's just, I would
really
love to see
blowjobs.
Him run for president.
He really hates blowjobs so much.
Oh, he can't stand it.
Oh, my God.
I ain't gay, y'all. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you see that if he were president, which, first of all, let's take a second to say... God.
Well, he's not going to be president because the state of South Carolina forgot to put him in the South Carolina straw poll last weekend.
Yeah. Oh, Blanche.
This whole presidential campaign, I'm just calling a reality show. Who wants to get beat up by a girl? That's what we're looking at right now. I love that Chris Christie is outspoken, but Hillary Clinton is bossy.
Yeah.
And don't make the same guys who say don't make fun of
Christie's
weight.
She does have
weight.
Bigger balls than any of them. And by the way, so Rand Paul's like, oh, well, this Iran letter was really a message to the president. Yeah, we got the wrong fucking email address, yeah. You moron.
Wow.
At least Hillary knows the right address to send her emails to, you fucking
I
asshole.
I heard they found on Hillary Clinton's hard drive a letter from her to the Islamist Ayatollah Muslim leaders of Iran where she, oh, wait, that wasn't her. No, that wasn't Hillary. That was someone else. Yeah. Isn't it great that Rand Paul signed that letter for all those cute little libertarians who really believed he was anti-war? I think it's precious.
Oh, God, it's just...
Their hopes and dreams are dashed right now.
Beyond the pale. It is beyond... I've been saying, John, that it's like if my dad in Goldwater had called Khrushchev during the missile crisis. It is just fucking
If a bunch of Democrats had written to Gorbachev... when he was negotiating with Reagan,
right.
And said, forget what you're doing, because when we get a Democrat in the White House, we're going to undo all of your nuclear talks, all your disarmament, all these treaties. They would have rightfully been called traitorous.
Yeah.
And with the Hillary emails, too. You know, the Hillary email story comes out and gets all this press last week, and I'm not, you know, I get to do my least favorite thing in my life, which is defending Hillary Clinton, and I'm doing it a lot, and I don't like doing this. But the same week that David Petraeus walks...
Right.
For giving CIA secrets to his mistress.
Deliberately
to his lover. Giving CIA secrets to his extramarital lover and does no time, while Chelsea Manning gets 35 years for giving state secrets to we the taxpayers, while Edward Snowden has to spend the rest of his life in the Moscow airport Cinnabon. This same week, Hillary Clinton's emails get all the coverage, and it just makes me more disappointed in our corporate media than I've ever been, because... Yeah. There's real outrage.
No, MSNBC, our liberal network, led with the Hillary emails and not the fucking, like, 47
traitors. But Petraeus is an even bigger story than any of that. You know, this guy was the guy. I mean, think about the people they were saying were going to be on the GOP ticket 2 years ago. Petraeus and Bob McDonnell. Oops. Right?
Yeah.
But in this case, with the media, I think it proves that the media is not liberal. The media is terrified of being called liberal.
Yeah.
And there's lots of guys looking for any excuse to beat up on Hillary Clinton, who, if I may... not really a liberal when you want to talk about money and Wall Street and economics and appointments. So she's not the most... She's the best Republican we got. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And I tell every liberal who hates Hillary Clinton, all right, douchebag, who do you want picking the next three Supreme Court judges?
Mm-hmm.
President Jeb Bush or President Hillary?
Exactly.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 203 years old.
Oh, my God.
She's
still my future wife. Did you see her during the State of the Union?
She was drunk.
Yes, she was. Yes.
Oh, my God. And she sat up her ass fucking
God
blasted.
Bless her.
And she's earned it, by the way.
She has,
but
absolutely.
Breyer is 76.
Yep.
Ginsburg, I believe, is in her 80s. You've got 78, both Scalia and I think Thomas?
Scalia will never die.
No.
He will never. No.
He drinks the marrow of
orphans. My dad used to say
yes.
About my grandma. He's too mean to die.
Well, he was like insanely young when he was confirmed.
That's the thing. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Same with Kennedy. You know, those liberals who were like going after Reagan to not appoint that cigar-chomping, heavy-set, middle-aged Robert Bork.
Right.
So instead Reagan appoints... And look, I mean, Bush puts young, healthy, robust John Roberts on the Supreme Court. Democrats put on Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
right.
Who is 123
years old.
Who's
147
years old. Yeah.
But she's done a great job.
And Elena Kagan will be there for a long time, so I'm just Sotomayor for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm relieved knowing that someone who rides the 6th train... is on, because you know what's going to happen. Like this time, Clarence Thomas will go up to her. You smell nice, and she'll just say, "I'll cut you," and it'll be a whole new dynamic.
I'll fucking cut you. And how's that going to smell? Mm. By the way, so they'll heal marriage equality, right?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
In April, the Family Research Council, John, has said that gay people like Dan Savage caused SAE's racist chant.
Oh, okay, yeah. And rap music, too, by the way.
Right. Yes. 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 A prominent member of the Family Research Council has an idea. What caused the frat brothers at Oklahoma to SAE to sing racist chants referring to lynching gay people? Dan Savage.
Lynching black people.
Dan Savage. Who did Sexy Liberal with us in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
Yeah. He said, he was on a radio show, he said, well, this comes at a time when you have one of your nemesis, Dan Savage, who is now having his life story being portrayed on a new sitcom at ABC.
Yep.
You know, here's a guy that's responsible for the coarsening of the civil discussion. and conversation being celebrated. A time when their knuckleheads are still spewing from their lips the sort of nonsense that we've heard from these fraternity members.
Knuckleheads?
Right. Because he has a sitcom coming out, and it will be produced by Martha Plimpton, right?
Oh, yeah. We had her on the show.
Yes.
A good friend. Yep.
And Mediaite concludes by saying, once it airs, prepare for a bunch of Southern frat guys to be even more racist.
So, I have been in L.A. all week, yes. Which means I get to listen to The Patriot.
Oh,
on 11:50 a.m. L.A.
Our old station.
Yes. Because now I can hear Rush Limbaugh four times a day
yes.
in L.A.
Awesome.
You, Tom Hartman, not so much. So I was listening to Limbaugh today, and it was amazing. He had a whole segment where he was decrying how conservatives unfairly get called racist. And how he's called racist all the time, and it's a lie, lie, lie. And then after the break, he began explaining, defending the Oklahoma douchebags. By saying if Kanye West did those same exact lyrics on stage, he'd win a Grammy and get a standing ovation. And it's like, you know what, Rush Limbaugh? Kanye West isn't talking about lynching N-words.
Yeah, right.
And he's not saying no N-words here.
Right. And the frat mom, of course, was chanting the N-word along to a
rap song.
A rap song. Mm-hmm. And your friend, Tashina Arnold, who you turned us on to, because everything good in our lives comes from?
John Fugelsang.
Thank you.
John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
We
I'm like
one
your
of those
booker at this
asshole
point.
Right-wing callers. How come the rap song? You people can say the word and blah, blah, blah. And Tashina's like, you're a grown-ass fucking man. Really?
Yeah.
You don't know why you can't say it. And you go, you could see this frat mother. Oh, it's funny. Look, I get to say the N-word.
And they love it. And
because the blacks do.
It's a great IQ test for people. Here's what I say about that, all right? This country's 400 years of Caucasians telling black folks what they can't do. You mm-hmm. can't go off the plantation. You can't marry who you want. You can't be free. Can't keep your language. Okay, you can go off the plantation. You can be free, but you can't vote. Okay, you can vote, but you can't use this water fountain. Can't sit in this seat in the bus. Can't use this lunch counter. And in those 400 years, black folks have asked Caucasians not to do one thing. Don't
just
say
one.
That word. Here's the thing, white people. When it comes to the N-word, there's three words you got to think of. Audience, mm-hmm. context, intent.
Yep. That's exactly
audience, context, intent.
That's right.
On every time. I say white people stole the rock and roll from the black folks. Let them steal the N-word from us. Because really, are you amazed that white people are so angry that there's one word they're not allowed to say? You like these racists who think that they have to be at the back of the bus because black folks get special rights to say a word that I can't say?
Right.
Yeah, white people. This is like, and it's so easy not to say the N-word. For me, seven, yeah. 8 times a week tops. Yeah. It just flies. I can't
well,
help it.
And plus, I know of what I speak here. One of the frat guys said, oh, well, alcohol was involved. Chris, I've left you a lot of drunk dial messages.
Yes,
have
you
I
have.
Not? And have I ever had a racist thought in those emails?
No.
Messages.
No.
No. Alcohol does not make you racist.
Listen,
right?
The real story here is the hero of the university, the president of the university, who did not appoint a panel, who did not wait to get the full story, who did not conduct an investigation. He dissolved the frat immediately.
Yep.
Kicked them out of the frat house. Your frat is no more. He didn't evict them, and that's fine. It's free speech. He would have been wrong to kick them out of school. Would have been wrong to do. But I can guarantee you all those cracker douchebags will be transferring next year and trying to live this down. And you know what? It'll
right.
make them better men. It will make them better people because they should feel shame for this.
Well, it needs to follow them for the rest of their lives. I want all of their names out there. I want everyone talking about their names. I mean, Parker Rice, come on.
Here's the deal.
There's no black rice in that family,
I don't think
John.
They're bigots.
There's no
per
forbidden
se.
Rice.
I don't think they're necessarily bigots, but this was them being outrageous and yeah. un-PC, and you know there's no black folks around on that frat.
Exactly.
So, you know, they thought they were being funny and un-PC, which lots of Caucasians do, and Caucasians, everyone loves. And everyone says racist jokes when they're drunk, whatever.
Right.
But that was so egregious and so mm-hmm. nasty, and it wasn't like they were even telling jokes. They were talking about lynching.
Lynching.
And white
yeah.
people still don't even take slavery in this country seriously. You can still fly the slavery treason flag above the South Carolina State Capitol. I've seen it there.
Right.
How you claim to love America when you yeah. fly the symbol of quitting the country because you want to keep people as pets?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the context.
Yeah.
And it was hateful, and they deserve all the scorn they get. And I hope it's the beginning of the best part of those young men's lives when they can become more mature and better members of society.
I remember hearing, I don't know where it was, Army guys, you know how, you know, Army guys march? I don't know mm-hmm. where I was.
I don't know, but I've been told.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. They were doing, and yeah. I was like, I wasn't sure how to feel. They were.
You were watching Biloxi Blues.
Something. Chris, but they were like, I don't know, but I've been told Eskimo pussy's mighty cold.
That sound is from, I think that's either from Full Metal Jacket.
I think it's from Full Metal Jacket.
Or it might be from Officer and Gentleman.
All right.
Oh, well, it's probably Officer and Gentleman. You've seen that movie.
But
you probably
racist,
haven't seen
right?
It.
Because I don't think Eskimo pussy is, I will go find out. I will go on a fact-finding mission, but I don't think it's any colder.
First of all,
than
they're not called
pussy.
They're not called Eskimos.
Well, exactly. My point, Chris. That's why I'm sounding off.
Is Eskimo an epithet now?
Apparently it is.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They're
I
first,
have no idea.
First Nations.
Wow, that's weird. And I nose kiss you
first
every
Nations,
day when
First Nations, I
you
thought it was indigenous people.
No. That too.
But first
Nations.
I nose kiss you every day when you come in.
Get the fuck out my igloo.
What the fuck?
Don't call me a papoose because that's bad too.
I won't. No
whale oil for you.
Yeah.
John, in the Isn't It Ironic file today, did you see that a guy, I can't remember what state it was, he cut his brother with a Jesus vanity license plate.
Isn't it ironic?
Mm-hmm. And he had to go to the hospital.
Threw it at him.
He threw it at him.
And he had a
Go to the it said Jesus.
Was he trying to create a stigmata on his brother or something?
Jesus will cut you.
He was a ninja for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I love how it really is true how the followers of Jesus, the members of his unauthorized fan clubs, are the leading manufacturers of atheists in our society today. It's kind of beautiful about that. Wow, yeah. I wouldn't drink any wine the last time I was here. What have you done to me?
I grew up in Pat Robertson land. Now I'm an atheist.
You know what?
Pat Robertson married my cousin.
Really?
He performed the service as a young minister.
Oh, he didn't marry your cousin.
No, but and I've actually, I broadcast for Ed Schultz out of his studio at the 700
Club.
In Virginia Beach last year. And very nice people. But Pat Robertson, he's another one. He's in One Man Atheist Factory. Yeah. And again, it's like they say that the largest, fastest growing religious demographic are Mormons. Not true. The fastest growing religious group are people who were raised religious and now consider themselves spiritual because they're turned off to the hypocrisy of men in dresses and funny hats.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Oklahoma, this just in.
Oh, yes. This is my favorite story.
On a recorded podcast, this just in.
Yeah. Whatever.
What?
The Oklahoma House of Representatives has voted to pass a bill that would essentially end the state's marriage license dispensation, according to its author. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to somehow stop same-sex marriage from bothering county clerks opposed to such shenanigans.
Let them do
while also fulfilling an inevitable Supreme Court strike down against same-sex marriage bans.
Oh, of course. Let them do it. You know, when Alabama was the last, or was it Mississippi, to officially end, I think it was Alabama, they only struck down slavery in 2013.
Yep.
They deserve that scorn.
Yes, they do.
You know, Oklahoma deserves it. Here's what I say about Obama. Whatever you think about him, whether you think you're disappointed in him or whatever, the fact is nobody remembers the guys who tried to stop Galileo.
Right.
Right.
They remember Galileo and how he was screwed with by the conservative religious establishment of his day when he was just trying to do true, honest science. No one's gonna remember the names of most of the guys who tried to stop Lincoln.
Right.
They'll remember the guy who stood, or the woman who stood there and fought against the odds. So you know what? It's getting easier and easier when there's no bigot cloaking device. And I say be on the wrong side of history and wave your bigot flag proudly. You're getting me drunk.
He's right getting drunk.
Yay!
How dare you? This is, yay!
I feel like Oklahoma's like the new Texas. I mean, they've got that, the AP U.S. History. Did you hear about that one?
Yes, I did.
Banning the teaching of AP U.S. History. Oklahoma's trying really, really hard to race to the bottom.
Yeah, they really are. And that case is particularly egregious because they're doing it because they want their new curriculum adds three Ronald Reagan speeches and a George W. Bush speech.
Yep.
And
oh, no.
You know, and they're one reference to Thomas Jefferson, but only to say that he was really Kenyan.
Okay, here's why we have to get John Figo saying drunker, because he has not sworn once.
I have.
Okay, really? Just the fuck?
You're so drunk you won't even notice in it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, all
He's
right.
just not as egregious as you are.
That's true. I am fucking egregious.
Yeah.
Precision cunt. Strikes over here. Precision.
I only
and I am a fucking gratuitous cunt, aren't I?
Yes. He does surgical strikes.
I know. Yeah. I understand.
Okay. And I don't say that word, although I will say the British pronunciation, because I love when British guys say, Kint, you feckin' Kint. That's funnier to me. I want to have a band called the Feckin' Kints. For fuck's sake, da! To me, they and the Irish do it too. Daniel Day-Lewis, yep. And in the name of the Father. For fuck's sake, da! And I wrote your name. You're a stupid fucking Giuseppe name. And I pissed on it. It's just funnier that way.
It sounds
funnier.
It's just slightly classier,
yeah,
too.
Chris with an accent, yeah. Classy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Doesn't sound so bad.
Mm-hmm. Hijo de puta. Oh my God, Stephanie's gonna be drunk, Travis.
Yay!
Well, because I asked you, because you know, I ask, like, you know, we have discussions off air, yes. On air.
She's going to throw me on the ground.
I'm glad that
she's
going to
throw me
this.
On the ground and mount me as unconvincingly as Robin Wright mounted Kevin Spacey in episode one of season three of House of Cards.
She put a pill in there.
Oh, I bet
she went Bill Cosby on you.
She always
Cosby
on me.
Oh, I put the pill in the people.
Put the roofie in my Jägermeister. Jägermeister actually German for date rape. Did you know that?
That's actually, no, I did not.
Oh, then yeah, now you know.
Wow.
We drank
that.
A lot of that in my fraternity days.
Oh, I bet.
Did you sing any songs?
What?
Any songs that you sang when you were in the fraternity?
Should
we know something, Chris?
Oh, no, nothing. No songs like that. We did have songs, though.
Opening a new bottle.
Oh my God. Oh.
Glug, 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 glug.
I want to congratulate you on the unlikely success of this podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
Unlikely? And it was Travis's idea.
She gets people to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Check it out.
Rock
John,
on.
Here's my point. Here's why the podcast is probably
that's
special.
Why she needs the second glass
we
of
can
wine.
Talk about personal life things that we don't talk about. Because I asked you before the thing.
I'm glad you asked him before the thing instead of blurting it out now.
I have nothing but fucking goddamn decorum, you goddamn
blurt.
Hobgobbler. Listen
you
to me.
Blurt.
He's blurts. I fucking ask first, can we blurt? Because it is a momentous time in our civil rights battle in our generation,
right? It
really
is. It really,
and
really
so
is.
And so there is an LGBT. There's a B.
B in LGBT.
And nobody
and you know
knows
what?
Better than you and I about
the
B.
The B is the little B in LGBT.
Right.
You know, for so often, I mean, you've got Kirsten Sinema, mm-hmm. who's the first out bisexual
from Arizona.
Person.
Yep.
I've interviewed her on Current, and she's terrific. And she's the first openly bisexual person ever elected to our Congress, which is a real cause for pride. Openly, there's been plenty of, you know, plenty of freaks.
Right.
Yeah.
But
Aaron Schock.
But for way too long,
he's
you know,
not bisexual.
You've got the little B in LBGT because in many ways, bisexuals are sort of the daywalkers. They have the heterosexual cloaking device, mm-hmm. and yet very often they can't be. They aren't accepted by gay folks. A lot of gay people and lesbians don't like bisexual folks because
we've
they
had
think
my nephew on who is bisexual, who is truly bisexual.
And you know what?
And I will say, by the way, because I even said to him as his little auntie, I said, you know, oh, I thought maybe you just had a fear of commitment. And he's like, no. What has freed me to really commit now for a lifetime is that I can own this label without saying, you know, oh, if I'm with a guy, oh, it was just a gateway on the way to gay, or oh, if I'm with a woman, like, oh, that was just a phase being that. He is bisexual, and, you know, whatever he chooses, you know, and anyway, but the reason why
a lot of gay people, you know, don't trust bisexuals and think they're liars,
right?
Because some bisexual folks have, and so there are many bisexual people say, you know, you've got to tell people you're bi and be honest about it. But the reason why bisexual folks have this unfair stigma is because it's a double-edged sword. Bisexual men are shamed and scorned,
mm-hmm. right?
And bisexual women are fetishized. And turn into sex objects.
Of course, no. But my nephew always says, Johnny, you know, he says like, because the thing when we're right before this big like you know marriage equality battle, he says like, oh, because it disproves that it's not a choice. And he said, how is my being born bisexual any different a choice than someone being born gay or straight?
Who chooses who they're attracted to?
Right.
God, I wish I could do that. My life would be so much simpler,
way easier.
Anyway, but we were saying your wife, who is fucking hot.
It's my son's third birthday, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
His wife, who is a mother.
Well, yes, but you said it's okay to talk about this.
Well, I asked her, yeah.
Because you said, and I think this, and I thought it was so beautiful what you used to say. You were like, look, you know, you felt even more complimented in a way that you're like, I won. She chose me. She's in love with me.
You're outing my wife.
She married
is what we're
me.
Doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John's wife is.
Well, she used.
Let
yeah.
John say it.
I've never, ever said this publicly. You know, it's interesting because she
make me straight.
She told
I'm just
me,
saying I understand.
Well, my wife told me I had to. She actually said, how can you go talking all about LGBT issues and not be straight about your own life? So, yeah, I am the proud husband of a bisexual person.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Listen, and, you know what? Wherever anyone is on the scale, I have seen it in person, Chris. John Fugelsang pulls them to wherever
also,
his giant penis is. It's like a divining rod.
Also, you,
it's
that's
like
called
a
gravity.
Divining
that's
rod.
Gravity. You have gone after anyone on the scale.
Yes.
And you, and you know, and like, it's, but really, what one thing I've learned from, I've learned a lot from my wife. I've known her for a long time. Our first date was a long time ago, and we waited a long time to get married and a long time to have a kid. But she's the smartest person I know.
She is smart and mm-hmm. gorgeous, yep. and yeah.
And I really learned
and
about
funny and fun to be with.
Thank you.
Funny, yeah,
fun to be and has amazing yeah. taste
she
in men.
She thinks very highly of you, Chris. You, yeah, but she thinks very well, highly of you. Oh. No, she actually taught me a lot about the term sexual fluidity. And that we are not fixed in our sexuality, just as we're not fixed in our political ideology or our personality. A person changes mm-hmm. and evolves and grows many times throughout their life. And just because...
I was born Republican. Hello. Go Watermiller.
But like, you know, but yeah. you could be attracted to a man.
I
you
am.
Could be attracted
I
to,
am.
You could be attracted to a woman, right? Mm-hmm. You could be attracted to a woman.
It's been a while, but yeah.
It could happen.
But been, you, I've
but,
been there.
But you've been there before. Yeah. It could yeah. still happen.
We're both not gold star gays.
Yeah.
No, so, my I mean, mom said, you know...
But there's no absolutism.
My mom, yeah. to the typical, like, oh, Steffi, you're so pretty. Aren't you attracted to men? I said, yes, I am. I said, I think I just feel more comfortable in a relationship.
Exactly. I mean, you're attracted to people, but then, you know, who do you want to share your life with? Who do you want to live with?
Right.
And so, and I think that speaks for a lot of people. And it's interesting. I'm working on a new solo show that I'm hoping to workshop at Dartmouth, like I did the last one. And I was an artist in residence at Dartmouth for the last one for New York Theater Workshop. And the new one I'm working on is sort of based on this book I'm writing, Separation of Church and Hate. And it deals mm-hmm. all with the Bible and LGBT issues. And it's,
right.
you know, my own journey from homophobic teen to guy who only feels safe in the neighborhood with a rainbow flag. And how the seven verses of the Bible most commonly used as the clobber passages mm-hmm. are actually rubbish and can't be used. And I've said on your show before, there's no part of the Bible you can use to condemn same-sex relationships between consenting adults, because right. there's not. And I've read every part, and you homophobes can talk about Romans. It's all rubbish. So my Charmian finally said to me, you know, how can you do this and not share the fact that you're married to someone on this spectrum?
Yeah.
And I realized, well, you're really right. So this is kind of nice. I was sitting here and you brought it up before the thing. And so I texted her and said, this isn't how we planned it, but is it okay? And she right. said, yeah. So
this is what happens on the Happy Hour podcast. Yeah. But no, I mean, and I, cause you know, I would never do that to you. You and I have been friends a long time, and I would never, and I would say what's on air, what's off air.
Yeah.
And cause you know, there's a lot of stuff for me. That's off there
oh,
right now.
Please. Well, Stephanie's a freak. I mean,
that's why I talk about
let's
it.
Let's just say there's a reason she's not allowed to head a brownie troop, all right? There's a reason why yeah, Girl Scouts won't allow
let's
her.
Let's just say that this isn't the lower level of no, the basement.
We know all about Stephanie's spanking habits. We know all yeah. about her Italian experiences.
Uh-huh.
Can you just shut the fuck up?
Do you know about her Italian experiences?
No.
Okay. Listen, let's. She's here's the point. Girl. Let's point. Let's.
That's a Greek experience.
This happened in Rome.
Oh, well, when in Rome or Athens.
Oh, that was a long time. Oh, you're talking about college. That was with a guy.
Well, you're
anyway,
talking about
John.
Sodomy, the most misunderstood word in the Bible.
Yes.
Well, that sodomy John. Refers to a disgusting activity engaged in by gay men no, my, with gay men or straight men with amazing, wonderful, spectacular, understanding women. And
John, my point
could save
is
a marriage, ladies. I'm here to help. Just telling you.
No, but, you know, it's interesting because some people, you know, and I think we are at such a critical tipping point in our marriage. You know, this is it's April. It's right next month they're going to hear these arguments mm-hmm. and then in June they're going to make a ruling, you know. And I have had prominent people in the gay rights movement say, "Yes, I think this does hurt it if you say this is a choice or you're with someone that was married to a man and that is in love with you." I don't think so. I honestly don't. I think this is the next wave in this to go in the United States of fucking America. What difference should it make if you feel like you were born this way or, you
Look,
know,
man, either you believe in liberty or you don't.
Mm-hmm. You chose this at a certain point in your life after you were in love with a man or married to a man or woman
or whatever,
or,
yeah.
you know, or a woman or either. Right.
And many of us have known, you know, spectacular women who in middle age decide that they're going to have a relationship with a woman? Does that mean they weren't straight before? Who cares? And I've got right. so sick of seeing
what I'm saying is
Meredith Baxter.
No, I mean, mm-hmm. well, a lot of women we know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a lot of women you go, you know.
A lot of women get tired of putting up with male bullshit, I think.
No, but I don't even know what's that, John. I think that most psychologists would tell you there's a continuum. Some people are born gay, some people are born straight. A lot of us are somewhere in there.
And it's sexual fluidity.
And right.
And I got really tired of seeing how bisexual people...
And that doesn't... It doesn't argue bisexuals don't defeat the born that way.
No, they
argument.
Don't.
Argument. They are born that way too.
Yeah. And again, during Jesus' time, you know, this was the Roman Empire. I mean, the whole story of the Roman centurion, which I think I've told on your show mm-hmm. before, you know, it's nothing new at all. And for many cultures throughout history... I mean, being with men, being with women, whatever your thing is, was fine. And people maybe had preferences, but in some cultures, people just went with both.
Right.
And I get really tired of seeing how bisexual men are scorned and shunned and smeared. And there's a few guys out there who have been who are brave enough to talk about it, who I really admire. You know, Trayvon is one of my favorite comedians in the world and one of my best friends in the world. And he is so forthright about it. He talks about it on his blog, and he's a hero of mine. And women who are bisexual tend to, you know, tend to live in a world where female bisexuality is used in the culture and by advertising purely for titillation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just like I always say it in my act, right? When we've been on Sexy Liberal, you say gay, they hear three-way.
Yeah. I get really tired of seeing, you know, bisexual. And if you're talking to Freud, if we could reanimate him, he would say that all humans are constitutionally bisexual. Same with Kinsey. There's ones and there's fives, but most of us are two, threes, and fours. So, you know, I'm happy to talk about it, I guess. It's really strange to talk about it on camera because I'm proud to live with a person. I'm proud to love a person who's not going to let society dictate who she loves and how she loves. Go ahead.
I'm in the same position you are, although I can't talk about it publicly yet because of the same reason that you haven't for a long time because you're respecting someone else's privacy.
Yeah.
But you say, like, how awesome is that? That person's in love with me.
That's how I feel. I mean, that's really how I feel. And, you know, I have a special place in my heart for folks who have to be, folks who choose to be honest. The real choice that matters, the only choice is, do you choose to be honest about your sexuality or do you choose to play it safe and live in a closet of your own creation? So for, you know, my heroes are gay kids who come out.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was in high school, like I worked at a theater with a lot of gay adults and I had lots of gay friends and I was forced at age 13 to confront my own homophobia and realize that I didn't just know gay men. I already loved them and I just didn't know they were gay. And I was a bigot.
Yeah.
And it was shameful. But also gay teens who come out of the closet are my heroes. And people who are going to be true to themselves are going to make it easier for others. And so if there's any, you know, bisexual men or women listening to this who can draw any inspiration from the fact that, you know, my wife is open about who she is to her friends, then I'm really, really, really proud to live with someone like
that.
And
I bet you had fear like I've had. Like, oh, can she sustain this? Is this real? But, you know, as you said...
Sustain what?
But she obviously has over a lifetime and had kids with you. And you know what I mean? Like that maybe in the beginning you were like, oh, but maybe she's going to want to be.
Never.
But what I'm saying is like she chose you and who wouldn't, right? Like you go with.
Plenty, trust me.
No, trust me. Every woman I've ever met would choose you.
I'm very difficult to live with. I'm awful to live with, but I really am. But no, you know, I'm proud that it's not that I'm proud that someone who could have any one of any gender chose me. I'm proud that I'm with someone who is fearless enough and honest enough and real enough to not hide who she is. And that inspires me and it makes me want to be a better man.
Well, I mean, I think it's the next wave. People like
so
you
too.
And Charmy and hopefully me, like a lot of us that hopefully will move this next conversation forward after marriage equality about no labels, because if you go younger and younger in
when
polling,
we're old,
I think that's the next. It's like in the United States of fucking America, what difference should it make who you love and who you want to marry?
If you're serious about this word liberty, if you're serious about this word freedom, we throw around like it's a frisbee.
Yeah,
and then put your money where your mouth is, which is why conservatives. Our Republican brothers and sisters should be the ones leading the fight for marriage equality and for same-sex acceptance. Yep. Because if you don't want the government interfering in your life and you believe in freedom, then you believe in letting anyone's freak flag fly.
He's drunk. I got him drunk. Yeah. I have a good chance to score.
She may say freak fag, which is a whole different... freak fag is a whole different fetish group.
Can I just say...
She's bisexual now.
I got to talk about...
Roy would say she already is.
Well...
They're talking about you.
Okay. Roy would say we all are. Travis.
All right. My point is, because I was thinking.
My boyfriend's a platinum star gay.
Oh, hello.
He's never touched one.
He's never touched a girl?
No, touched a vagina.
Oh. But you know there's.
Not even on
they're icky.
Not even on the exit strategy.
But there's always the possibility that someday he could wind up being intrigued and have a romp.
I hope not, because we're in a really good relationship right now.
It wouldn't necessarily ruin your relationship.
You know, there's a good chance I'll show mine.
There is that.
And again,
there was that one time you
God bless the lesbians. God bless the lesbians who need to get with a guy every 10 years because they
right?
get the world around.
You gotta just go, hey, check this out.
Stephanie tongue fucked his boyfriend's ear.
I did.
Okay. At Chris's birthday party.
He's cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my point, John.
She's got earwax on her tongue.
Well, I didn't say I approved of lesbians
Listen,
with gay men, Travis. I didn't. That's wrong. Lesbians and gay men. Sorry, I'm going full Old Testament on that.
Nah, seriously.
that threatens the fiber of marriage.
John?
Yes.
Okay.
What'd you do?
I fucked with
You're
my box.
Drunk.
I fucked with my box.
Let's play John. Who's drunker, Steph or John?
I'm not that.
Here's funny. My point. Yes. I miss Sundance, but you're a big film guy. You've done a John Fugelsang should host goddamn everything. First of all,
I have two movies. I have two movies coming out.
John Fugelsang should have a show on MSNBC or the fucking Daily Show. He is the best comedian in fucking America.
You know, thank you very much. That's okay. MSNBC, man, I wish I could tell you. I've had a lot of meetings over there.
And they should have brought you back for the 25th anniversary of America's Funniest Home Videos.
It's okay, they didn't.
Don't make me tweet my fingers
very
bloody
nice group
again.
Of people
John
who paid me very well.
Okay.
is the best thing that's ever fucking happened to America.
Yeah.
Oh, here's God. My point, John.
Me and Lincoln.
You were the best thing on current TV.
Stephanie, you were on current TV.
So?
Yeah, John Fugelsang.
He was the best thing. We were the highest rated. Let's split. Let's go that way.
Current TV.
Anyway,
I don't know
if you paid attention to Sundance, but Tig Notaro.
Yes.
She's a comedian. Mm-hmm. Do you
yep.
know this?
Yes.
In the span of 4 months, she was hospitalized with a rare bacterial infection. Mm-hmm. Her mother died suddenly. She and her girlfriend broke up, and then she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yep.
Eager to have a child of her own and extend the bloodline of her mother. Notaro began investigating fertility treatments, but doctors told her if she underwent the hormone therapy necessary for in vitro, there was a chance her cancer might return, and if she did, it would be incurable. And Notaro, now 43, also falling in love with a woman who said she was only interested in men. I can't. Okay, a new documentary, Tig. It just
something you would never do, Steph.
No, premiered at Sundance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Budding relationship with Stephanie Aline, a 29-year-old actress who she met on the set somewhere. Aline made it clear she was straight. Yet, spoiler alert, against all odds, they end up together. In fact, they actually got engaged this past New Year's. Almost like being a vegetarian, I used to think, this is who I am and that's that, Aline said. But I couldn't deny myself this feeling. Every time we hung up, we would stand in the parking lot or talk and close down the restaurant, and I came from a liberal family. I felt like I was a believer in equal rights, but still I had the labels. Bisexual, straight, gay, you're one of those things.
And again, you know what? It's all self-identifying. It's a free country. So like, hey, look, if you look at Craigslist, you'll see lots of straight guys looking for straight guys. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's fine with me. Like, I'm not going to force those men to call themselves bi. You know, 77% of Americans, according to Gallup, support abortion rights in all or some cases. Only 43% choose to call themselves pro-choice. And to me, that's what choice is all about. There's lots of folks who don't like abortion, but they don't want to see it become illegal again, so they mm-hmm. don't self-identify as pro-choice. I feel the same way about sexuality. If you choose to identify as straight, but you go for a romp with a guy every now and then, who am I to say that you're wrong?
Who better to give a straight guy a blowjob than a guy? Because the guy knows exactly what feels good.
Well, some women are miraculous at that, Chris. I hate to tell you. But there's a lot of empathic women out there. And
I gave a wicked blowjob.
I'm not
going to
buy that one for...
Yeah.
No, I don't buy that one.
No?
I did.
I don't believe you.
I did, honestly.
Until you prove it on gym,
I don't
believe you.
Because I was a Catholic girl. You could do everything but... So
Catholic school is what I call the fun factory.
I could fucking suck start a Buick. Anyway, my point...
Thank God for Paramus Catholic High School.
Well, also...
It made NYU so much better for me.
Right?
Butt sex wasn't penetration.
What?
Okay, let's not talk about previous podcasts.
What?
It is if you do it right.
Well, I mean, it's not like penetration in the eyes of the Lord.
What are you talking about?
It's not.
Well, it's not mentioned in the Bible, but it is in the eyes of the dictionary, it's penetration.
Well, yes, but you know, it's not school, sex. You know, just like getting a blowjob isn't sex.
Ask your partner if it's sex or not.
Well,
that's why
the Catholic mindset.
Exactly. That's why I always defended Bill Clinton, because I was like, no, no, blowjob is not sex.
Of course it's sex.
No, well, it's
when
not.
I was in high school.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
The sex means...
You mean
penis, vagina.
Yes!
Penis in the
it
vagina.
Yeah, you know, I differ
sexual
with Bill
relations
Jeff on that
means
one, man. For me, you know what? If you want to know if it's sex, ask your partner and find out that way. I've heard this eating ain't cheating thing before. It ain't quite
well,
true.
Well, let's talk eating about this cheating? Guy.
I know, all the girls let's I went to school with, all the Mormon girls, broken. That was their thing. Mm-hmm. The guys might call it sex. I don't know if the girls call it sex.
Whatever you choose to identify.
Let's talk just about this nice guy who broke his dick during sex and says he heard it snap.
Ah!
Sorry. I am sorry to That's bring this cool. up. He's fine now. I just want to let you guys know he's
How
fine
How do you break your
now.
Dick?
Agony of Man 42 broke his penis during sex and says he heard it snap. Man from Boston. He's Boston Strong now. He's back. He's back, motherfuckers. He accidentally hit his penis on his partner's...
Perineum.
Right before the anus. Well, I don't know if it was a man or woman. He didn't say.
The taint.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's, man or woman.
It does
know.
Matter because it's broken.
What doesn't matter, Travis? He heard a snap.
Doesn't matter to you.
He heard a snap.
Because you don't have a broken dick.
I do not have a broken dick. Thank you, honey. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. He
metaphorically, we all do at this point.
Yeah.
He heard a snap and immediately lost his erection and saw blood spurting out.
Oh God! Oh no!
Well,
no.
Let me just say, if that was a woman, that's a pussy buzzkill. Wow, you are really. Okay.
I don't understand how this.
He felt searing
happened.
Pain and went to the emergency room where he was sent for an operation. He had torn his something that I can't pronounce, the outer sheath of his penis inner chamber. He's fine now. The point is, he's fine now. A few months later. Yeah, he's fine now.
There was an episode of Grey's Anatomy about this. I don't watch that show, but I know there was an episode about this.
He's fine, but I just became celibate.
Yeah. And now he can make a right turn and hit that really good spot.
Well, there's that.
Oh, baby. Yeah, you're a dirty friend. Okay, hang on. Hold that thought.
I broke my dick on your taint.
I just broke my dick on your taint.
That's the Hallmark card we've been looking for.
I'm so sorry I broke my dick on your taint.
That's the Lee Greenwood song, isn't it? I broke my dick on your taint. Wasn't that the B-side to God Bless the USA? Pretty sure. That's some country guy.
Oh, God.
John Fugel saying, how might we follow you? Because,
are we done?
Yeah,
oh,
why
thank
not?
God.
That's our
can
closer.
Can it get worse than this?
There's still more wine in your bottle.
Oh, my God. What are you doing to me, Travis? Mm. You can follow me easily. I'm at the John Fugel Sang page on Facebook or at John Fugel Sang on Twitter. I am
You also have a Tell Me Everything page on Facebook.
I have a Tell Me Everything page. Yeah, do you have to take that? Is this a bad time
for
you?
Yeah, no, that's Jerry Lewis calling to ask, what the fuck did John Fugelsang say about his wife? What? Lady, what did he say about the lady?
We don't turn the ringer off here, do we? That's how formal we are. Okay. I can wait for it to end. My show is called Tell Me Everything on SiriusXM Insight Channel 121. We do have a Facebook page and an irritating ringing phone if you want to come by. And so I do that.
All right. We love you, John Fugelsang.
I love you, Steph.
You
and your ginormous fucking...
You know, can I just say that...
Anaconda-like penis. I love you so much.
Thank you. Listeners, take a moment to imagine if a man was talking to a woman about her anatomy this way and how outraged you
talk about her tits.
Would be.
You can talk about her.
I won't do that. I'm a liberal. I'm a feminist. But I will say, you know, I miss being on tour with you.
I do miss to be on tour with you, too, and your giant penis.
It brings it right back to that. It's like it's got a gravitational pull.
Mm-hmm. This is her way to stop you from talking about going to her with her.
Yeah. Like talk about her giant
like
cavernous
rod.
Vagina.
It's like I don't have a giant tavernous vagina because I haven't been
even with John's
men.
Giant dick
so actually,
it'd be like a hot dog down the Holland
really
Tunnel
small. It's
oh my
like
god
a,
you know that Patton Oswalt bit
my
about,
sister calls
drop
me twinkle
your
twat.
Golf pencil down our mine shaft.
Be like throwing a hot dog into space.
No,
come on.
My sister calls it my twinkle twat as my
what is your sister know?
Does your sister know the size
because
of your
I
vagina
told her my gynecologist needs a pediatric speculum because I haven't fucked men a lot of men so I don't I have a twinkle twat
and you've been with some boring women.
And she does. I've seen her do the Kegel machine out there too.
Is this still on air?
This
isn't still on air.
This
is
still on air.
I work at my Kegels every day. I'm doing it right now. You can't tell.
Me too.
Me. Mm-hmm. Listen, I am tight as a fucking cat's ass. If that will make you buy this podcast, I don't know what will. All right, we love you, John Fugelsang.
We love you, John Fugelsang.
Thank you. I'm going to go seek further treatment now. I appreciate this.
And it's good to have you out here.
It's great to be back out here.
Thank you so much.
I miss you guys, and it's great to be out of the disgusting New York.
I'm going to kiss the tip of your giant. Dick in a
I
second.
Have to unravel it first, Steph. There's a pulley system.
It'll take a second. We can't show this on air. I love you. Just climb.